PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out in the Cinema Crespediso studio with Tristan Cogburn and Drew.
What up, dude?
And Simon Time Simon!
Woo-hoo!
Put on your headphones. That's right, I started the show. You guys are in the middle of a conversation. I said, fuck your conversation. It has nothing to do with me.
Bam! So you said you decided to start your own conversation that you are then recording
and
releasing to a set number of people on the internet.
I feel like...
I forget how we do this. When was the last time?
I feel like the conversation's not worth having.
Unless you're a part of it? Unless it has something to do with you?
Unless it's monetized for content somehow. I'm fixing it.
Monetized? We're making money. Who's making money off this shit?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that part.
Communists. That's who.
You keep saying monetized there are dollars or something.
I mean, I sent out an invoice.
That's cool.
Dollar, y'all.
Now it's gotta get. Now said invoice must be paid.
Yeah, apparently there's a second part to that I'm waiting at. Oh my God, Simon, what are you doing?
I have to put on my podcast spectacles.
It's an audio show, buddy. This guy is doing the visual jokes
on the audio show.
Visual jokes on the audio show. Hey, it's a picture. That's why we did the jingle. Ladies and gentlemen, that jingle is brought to you by Trey from the Swervy Jones Show. I am now buying jingles off him, a dollar a jingle.
That's cheap, man.
Well, he's
cheap jingles.
He's trying to get into the industry, so you got to find the geniuses in the beginning when they're cheap.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't pull that mic forward, buddy. Get comfortable.
Oh, no, just swing it aside.
Okay, that's totally cool, but that thing can like tip forward.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah,
that's smacking the face.
That mic's a pain, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we're smacking the balls. That's how far it gets. You know, if it doesn't hit you in the face and it keeps going down, I go. Pachow. Ladies and gentlemen.
So what the fuck is up,
hey.
Gents?
I forgot to tell you. Now, Cinema Crespediso is a family show too. Now,
what? X fucking excuse me.
I was gonna say you cussed just a second ago.
I did.
Yeah.
What?
You said fuck your conversation.
Okay. Oh yeah. That's right. What? I was gonna cut that part out.
Nah.
Fuck no, you weren't.
Villains. We're talking movie villains. Yes, Simon. It's been a minute since you've been here, buddy. I've been doing all new guests for the year. Plus, I have you here every Saturday to do your show. I feel then it'd be rude, not so much to you, but to Mrs. Simon Time. I know you're like, whatever.
Fuck that hoe.
But
she doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen.
And no one forward this to her, please. It's more in deference to her that I'm trying not to take away too much Simon from a weekend. You know what I mean?
She knows I love it, man, and I love it too.
I understand. That's why you're not.
I didn't feel the love.
And the villains episode, I saved it for you. You ain't seen me talking villains with no one else. Who else am I talking villains with, Drew?
Me.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
you said it. You said Drew. So, yeah. I mean, you're
Drew, so I mean, you're going to be in on the conversation. Exactly. All right, so here we go. Villains. Uh-huh. And I thought I said, I mean, you can check the text. There's a written history of our conversation. I'm pretty sure I said, open it up, not just movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what you said to me.
Drew got the gist of that one. It was two separate combos. So your phone is making crazy noises.
I was pulling up the official list.
I was about to say, get on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but just don't have it too close to the microphone.
Okay, I'll hold it over here. I just wanted to help the American Film Institute list.
If you hold it down like this, you should be fine.
It's important.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's right. You put up the AFI Top 100 Villains list.
Yeah.
They did that a while ago. A bunch of Top 100s, a whole bunch of Top 100 movie lines, movie characters, and they did a villains list, so we can go over that in a minute.
Yeah.
So I have a top 10. You got a top 10?
I do.
You got a top 10?
I
also have like 10 extra.
Me too.
Yeah, all the honorable mentions.
Holy cow, dude. Yeah, man.
The thing with top 10s is it's
an arbitrary 10.
Yeah.
It's arbitrary.
I can't do it.
I kind of lumped them together. I mean, like, this is like name, a top tier, middle tier, bottom tier.
Yeah, no particular order.
Yeah, I'm just gonna name 10 villains.
All right, and then we'll see what kind of matches up in our 10. So do we want to just go into our 10s and then do the ones we thought about afterwards that didn't get mentioned? Like, all right, here's the ones that we didn't get mentioned. So all the people that are listening at home, like, oh, how come you didn't mention this one? We'll save it for that for the end.
That's cool that we both did it.
Have an extra 10.
I will say, though, villains legit is more than just, well, we needed some bonus content. I am fucking villain obsessed.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Dude, like anyone that's been to Club Says and has seen my shit.
You're a wrestling bad guy?
I'm a wrestling bad guy. Mm-hmm. When I first started hosting trivia, it was the Simon and Gene trivia show. Gene was the baby face. I'd come up as the heel and people would boo.
That's awesome.
Funny, and I would say something smarmy like, ah, you boo me. Just like music critics love Elvis Costello and they hate Eddie Van Halen because they fucking look like Elvis Costello. Whoa!
Yeah, which is true.
Yeah.
They don't look like Eddie Van Halen.
Disney villains, comic book villains, dude, everything.
So many villains.
Well, at this point
such
in time.
Such a wealth of villains.
I mean, at this point in time, comic book villains are movie villains.
True.
That's true.
Very true.
That is very true. All right, so let's go. Let's go over then, even though it's sort of arbitrary list, we'll still do a countdown from 10 to 1. So let's go around the table doing our number 10s at the bottom of our list. The first ones we want to mention. Drew, you go first.
Oh, man. So, random, we're just going to go Black Phillip.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
From The Witch.
Good call.
A New England folktale.
Did not expect that.
How can you... Simon, not a horror film fan. He doesn't watch movies like The Witch.
Well, okay. No, let me specify. I did not expect that for number 10, because I was here when you talked about that.
Yeah, well, I expected
it much higher.
It's an arbitrary list.
Okay.
So, I mean, like I said, my thing with villains is I have a hard time ranking them because, I mean... Some of them are so crazy and out there, you know. I mean, Hans Gruber versus Thanos. Who wins? Come
true,
on.
True,
I mean,
true,
you know,
true.
It's two complete different levels of villainy here. So, you know, this is just kind of an arbitrary 10 villains. These are just, there's no.
But you're liking, but leveling. If you're going to start mentioning a 10, you started with the Black Phillip.
I'm starting out with Black Phillip. It's the devil and goat form.
Devil and goat form. And he has such a smooth voice.
He's got a really smooth voice, and he, you know, he just whispers to the little children and has them do awful things.
Yeah, so their parents are
doing bad. So this is the really actual list. Our honorable mentions are coming later,
yes,
right?
Yes, those will be ones that, for anyone that doesn't get mentioned, so go through in your mind, if someone mentions something that would be on our honorable mention, cross
take
it
off. Take it out. Good call.
Oh, Drew wants a piece of paper. Keep trying some of stuff.
God, way to prepare, Drew.
Yeah, he's just doing this off the top of his brain.
Shut up.
All right, Simon, what's your 10?
Number 10 for me is one Oswald Chesterfield Cobblepot.
How about that?
Played by Rosie O'Donnell in the 1992 film Batman Returns.
There we go.
Yes. I am a man!
Batman full of the rogues gallery of excellent villains.
And I just mean the character itself. No Penguin. Specific incarnation. Danny DeVito, Burgess Meredith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking about the character, yes.
Love him.
Fantastic character. Using his smarts.
And I love the fact that he can fight. A lot of people are not aware. I'm obsessed with comic villains, and one of his traits is a superior martial arts skills. He can fight, dude.
That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder, what is it? Does he specify? Is it jiu-jitsu? Judo? He seems like a judo kind of guy.
You know what? I think, honestly, it is jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And I want
to... Seems like something that would require a lot of momentum.
Yep.
Getting out of the way of other people.
This might be weird, but I've always been a fan, particularly of villains with a physical handicap. I don't know what it is about that story arc.
Yeah.
When I first started wrestling, and I was a manager in the beginning.
You only had one leg.
I always wanted the Simon Says character to have one of those crutches that you wrap around the forearm.
Oh, yeah,
I
sure.
Just, for some reason, man, I just thought that was so cool.
About like you have a CP, cerebral palsy?
Something
maybe.
Like that, yeah. Yeah.
CP wrestler? Yeah.
My promos would have been a lot different.
You could run into some issues with that one.
But yeah, I love it, man. The Penguin, the fact that he gets pissed off when people make fun of him or look at him a certain way.
Penguin, that's good stuff.
Good
there.
Shit.
Okay. I'm going to go with the slasher route with this one. Talking about 80s movies, Freddy Krueger.
I mean,
let's start the list with Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger's a pretty great villain. I mean, he's supposed pedophile, right?
In the original, it's that he was alleged and killed without any sort of trial.
No, exactly. And then in
the new one, they pretty much out and I say, yeah, he really is. Oh,
okay.
I don't think they needed that.
I was about to say,
I don't think so either.
No,
it's better with the ambiguity.
Yes.
The ambiguity is better, but I think they needed it at the time to for it to still be a group of suburban parents that are, remember, these are your next door neighbors.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah,
they
yeah,
murdered
yeah, yeah.
the fuck out of this random
yeah,
guy
yeah, yeah.
for no reason
I just
at all.
The aspect of, touch, of touching the kiddies
didn't pretty bad.
But
he's a great character because he's so violent. Yeah. But also, as movies went on, more funny.
I was going to ask you, like, what do you think about that? Like, Freddy's dead and all that stuff.
Yeah,
what do you think about, like, the comedy aspect of
it? Okay, well, I think the first movie, which is the most serious, least jokey one, is the best movie.
Okay.
The movies sort of get worse as they go along, as movies tend to do. But I like that his character gets jokier, more comical. I'm sure it gets to a point where it's a little too much towards the final movies or whatever. But, you know, it's Freddy Krueger. It's what separates him from the other...
Personality.
It's what separates him from the other slasher killers of that time period. I'm not going to name names just in case someone else wants to mention it.
Yeah, I feel that in the certain slasher versus Freddy...
Yeah.
Movie. I just recently watched it. I really like the resurgence of the less comedy and more like vindictive, manipulative,
just
like
angry, slashy.
Yeah,
absolutely, 100%. There you go.
And that they made the other guy the baby face, and Freddy was the heel. Was
yeah,
a good
it was
movie.
Very funny. They had to pick one. Yeah, it's like, you know, when the bad guys split up, you got to cheer for someone.
Marty and Sean.
Yeah, who's it going to be? Is it going to be when it's Harlem Heat? It's that one guy or the other. True. Give me a number 9, an arbitrary 9.
Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, there we go.
I'm not saying Darth Vader, because as the prequels have proven, Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader is not the most evil man in the universe. He is the most
emotional. Yeah,
in the universe.
That was in my honorable mentions, by the way.
So, you know, he's not really evil. He's just a whiny little bitch. As opposed to Emperor Palpatine, who, for all intents and purposes, is just out for universal domination.
Attaboy.
I mean, right? And he's just using the dark side, which is fucking evil as shit.
Evil.
I mean, the Force lightning and all that fun stuff, that all comes from, you know, fear, anger, suffer, hate, suffering.
Yeah,
it's all
on the shirt.
Yeah, it's all great stuff. So, you know.
I agree. I love it.
An arbitrary number 9 there.
All right. Simon.
My number 9 is Mr. Eric Lencher, a.k.a. Magneto.
Magneto, yes.
Tragic,
Magneto was right.
Tragic backstory, and I feel personally he is the representation of the best bad guys are the ones that believe that what they're doing is right.
Yes. Well, they have to.
Yeah.
You know?
But some of them can just be like, I just want to take over the world.
Yeah,
because I crave power. I'm crazy. But he's like, no, mutants are the superior race, and we need to wipe out humans before they wipe us out.
And they are.
Yeah.
And they will.
And they should.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Magneto was right.
Absolutely. But I love it.
I wish I was mutant.
Michael Fassbender and
make me mutant.
Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All
perfect
great actors, man.
Yeah,
loved it.
Yeah. All right. My number 9, Hannibal Lecter. Because he likes to eat people.
Yeah. And we talked about the fact that I wasn't sold that he's necessarily a villain, but...
In Silence of the Lambs, we talk about that on the trivia show. Yeah,
I'm insane.
He is only... You just identify with him too much as all. Because
he
is purely a bad dude who cuts up and kills innocent people.
And then eats them.
Maybe he'll even serve unsuspecting people human food. Like human...
Or feed your own brain to yourself.
He'll do that in a movie. Yeah.
What was that, Ray Liotta?
Yeah, Liotta got his brain fed to him.
We got Brian Cox in Manhunter. We have... everyone knows Anthony Hopkins and all the other ones.
Yep.
We all ignore that Hannibal prequel as if it never happened.
And you said that show sucked, right?
No, it was interesting. It's an interesting show. First off, it's the most violent show on network TV ever. It was at NBC, I think, and it was like bloody gory like crazy.
Really?
It was wild. Mads Mikkelsen himself is a great actor.
On a network?
On network TV.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was. Mads Mikkelsen's great. He's a great Hannibal, and it was like over the top. I was shocked. It was like an HBO or an R-rated movie level of visceral violence.
So I assume there's a butt ton of disclaimers beforehand, huh?
Oh, like, yeah, before. Yeah. When you come back from every commercial break, violent show. Don't watch.
Damn. Damn. I'm interested to see what kind of rating it's got on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's interesting. The first season is a elongated version of Manhunter, Red Dragon. And then they
same
go from
also
there.
Same story and stuff. And
it's like it's leading up to that. It's like it's leading up to Manhunter, but it never really gets there. It's weird.
Drister,
it's a weird series.
At the risk of fellating you on the air, which you already know you are my spirit animal, as is Chris, I asked Chris to rate for me the 4 Hannibal Lecter movies from best to worst. And he basically said in order of release.
Manhunter,
Silence
of the Lambs,
Hannibal,
Red Dragon.
Your thoughts?
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That sounds pretty right to me.
I don't know how I feel about Hannibal.
And maybe even flip 1 and 2 for me. I mean, Manhunter's great, but...
Silence of the Lambs.
I saw Silence of the Lambs first.
Everyone
loves
Silence of the Lambs.
You know.
Everyone loves it.
It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. It's a great movie. It's great. So, Hannibal Lecter, great character. Very smart, very insidious. Only help you because he can gives him a whiff, a taste, and a chance to get his dick wet. Metaphorically speaking.
Oh yeah.
Drew Sakai.
That was my number 8. So.
Very cool. Oh, okay. Awesome. Very excellent.
Hannibal, right. I mean, when it comes to evil people, Hannibal's always on the mind.
Yeah, he's oof. Simon.
My number 8 is specifically Heath Ledger's Joker.
Oh, right, yes.
Yes.
Because
I like that he went with a specific Joker.
Yeah. I hate when people compare. Like it really unreasonably annoys me when people say, oh, well, Jack Nicholson was the best Joker, or Heath Ledger. This is my preference. My list isn't the best villains of all time. They're my favorite villains of all time.
Yes.
And I remember coming up through the ranks of the wrestling school, the Simon Says character, the trainer, AJ, and Devon, one of the trainers, didn't understand. Mm-hmm. So there's a guy that we called Grover at the school. He was, you know, a Spanish, stout, portly. I fucking hated his stupid face. So when we started planning the first shows, my idea there, I'll send some of my chargers to beat his ass. And AJ was always like, why? What is the motivation? I said, why can't people just be shitheads for the sake of being shitheads?
Yeah.
Not everyone has to have, I was raped, or I was fainted, or I was abused. Or no, I just like to see this guy be miserable. And AJ never got it. We took a big trip to see Dark Knight. And the whole Agent of Chaos, and I remember coming out, Edge is like, Simon, you should do something like that. Like, I'm like, what the fuck do you think I was talking about?
That's so funny.
God damn it.
That's
but yeah.
Crazy.
So that for that reason, he personified what I felt the Simon Says character was about.
The Heath Ledger Dark Knight Joker.
Mm, you want to see a magic trick?
Oof.
Ooh, yeah.
Everything about it, man. The subtleties, the licking of the lips.
All of it.
My number 8 is one of my favorite movies of the last few years from Mad Max Fury Road, Immortan Joe.
Can you tell me about him?
He is the patriarchal leader of a water-strapped society where he controls the flow of the water. So he uses that to control the people.
Him and his group of radioactive inbreds.
Yeah, his inbred sons. And he has a bunch of women, the best-looking women. He has them all locked up, and they're his breeding women. And he's trying to use them to make himself a viable, healthy heir that will continue in his name afterwards. Meanwhile, he's dying, and he's falling apart. He's a disgusting, disgusting person.
Because I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, it's the most recent one.
My brother collects the Funko Pops, and he got, like, his mouth is all bloody and, like...
Yeah, because he has a crazy, like, oxygen mask
thing. Exactly.
It's like a horse mouth.
And at the end of the movie, it gets ripped off his face.
And his face gets ripped off, so underneath his face is like, ripped off. It's crazy looking.
Holy shit.
It's a wild movie.
It's so awesome.
Wild movie, good movie.
I purposely went out of my way to not watch it as much as I wanted to, because it's what cost me the winning streak against fucking Drewster Cockburn.
It's a shame. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mad Max Fury Road. So, Immortan Joe, there you go. That's my number 8. Your number 7.
Peter Stormare playing the devil in Constantine.
Hey, that's awesome.
He was good. That's probably one of the best devils.
One of the best devils of all time.
Boy, who do we got? Dustin Hoffman, right?
Al Pacino.
I'm sorry. Yeah, as other devils.
Was a good devil in The Devil.
Robert De Niro in Angel's Heart. He's the devil in that movie.
No.
Are you counting Tim Curry?
Darkness. Darkness, Legend, for sure. Will Smith in Winter's Tale.
He
has an earring and a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt.
Who is that? Who is the guy?
That is the year 1890.
Who's the guy that the devil possesses in End of Days?
Gabriel
Byrne.
Boom.
Gabriel Byrne, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Yes, he's a great choice for because he just has it. He's good. A lot of good devils out there. A lot of good devils.
Peter Stormare is my favorite.
Peter Stormare is a good one.
He's my favorite.
That's badass. Good choice.
Constantine's kind of an underrated movie.
It's way underrated.
Weird that they didn't let him smoke, though, because the head of the studio was like, also, if he smoked, it would have been an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
Is that crazy? NBA, if you smoke in a movie, it's R-rated.
What?
You smoke cigarettes. Yeah. Plus, they don't want to promote other kids. I get it, but, you know, anyways. I'm not into smoking. I hate smoking. Drew, you need to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we love you.
But
it looks so cool.
Smoking looks. Kids, if you want to look cool, start smoking, because you will look. Although I don't know, actually, some people look at you like a shithead. In movies, you look cool.
On film, you look great.
Hell.
The furthest I go with smoking is I've done hookah a couple times. And just the smoke coming out of the nose. And yeah. Just,
yeah. Yeah, that's why cool. Vapors, vape clowns yeah. Vape like crazy. So, so that was your number seven, right?
Yes.
Number seven.
Negan from The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I love yes, Negan. Yeah. Jeffrey Morgan.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Is amazing.
He's a good actor.
He's another one of those. But like, is he the bad guy? Is he really the bad guy?
As Negan, yeah, he's just trying to protect his people.
He knows what he's doing.
Civilized society mm-hmm. in an uncivilized world.
But he knows what he's doing. His means are a little extreme, but at the end of the day, it's for the sanctuary was running perfectly, man.
But did Glenn need to get his head bashed in?
Well, if yes. Daryl has kept in line, if Daryl nice had guy, sat his ass down.
I like Steve Yeun. It's Daryl's fault?
Yeah, because Daryl's the one that got up and punched him after he caved in Abraham's head.
Of all the characters and all the actors on that show, Daryl's the one that looks like you can smell him from the furthest away.
he looks like he smells like pee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Andrew Lincoln leaving?
Yeah.
What are they gonna do?
They're finally working on his exit.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I stopped watching the show forever ago.
I started watching with the Negan season. I haven't watched anything before.
There you go.
Yeah. I only watched the first season.
It's been like eight seasons now. He's been on that show. That's a long time for any show, for a show that they don't plan on stopping anytime soon.
But he's like the face of the show. What the fuck?
They're gonna need a new face because this is zombie stuff. So everybody dies.
And it's TV, not comic books. Yeah. Is that character still the lead character in the
book?
No
idea. Dude, right? I mean,
he is in the book for sure.
They are so. I stopped reading after graphic novel number 12. They're in like the 30s.
Like they killed off Carl. Carl on the show, and I'm pretty sure he's still alive in the comics.
Interesting.
So they're really starting to, because assholes were going on and posting pictures of the comic book pages
to see like this is what's going to happen next.
And sure enough, people are like fucking getting mad. Spoilers.
Well, now they can't do that anymore.
Yep.
That's fine.
So okay. Negan is my number seven.
Negan, number seven, very cool. And my number seven did pop up in a movie. He did pop up in one movie as this character, but it's not necessarily a movie character because he popped up in Muppets from Space as himself.
Can I guess? Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, that is correct.
And the line is, proving how much of a nerd, the line is, sorry, brother, I'm a heel now. I'm a bad guy now.
Gonzo. Hollywood Hulk Hogan?
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Fuck, dude. Change the wrestling business.
Yes, one of the biggest heel turns in wrestling history.
I dare say the biggest, dude. I would go on and say the biggest heel turn.
Pretty wild when he came out there. Who was it? Nash and Hall were beating someone up.
Macho Man.
Beating up Macho Man. Hulk Hogan comes out in the red and yellow to save him. But he drops the leg on Macho Man. And everyone's like, boo. And they're throwing stuff in the ring. And then next week comes out in the black and the white. And it's the NWO. And then he starts doing that weird, like, pink. Charcoaling his beard black with the white. What a weird look.
Led to 83 weeks of WCW beating WWE in the ratings,
man. It worked.
But,
they were the kings of the Monday Night Wars because of Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, and the greatest heel turn of all time.
People, and it got WWE to get away from the cartoony Bastion Booger, IRS, Doink the Clown attitude era. But people shit on the leg drop as a finishing move. They're like, it's a leg drop. Dude, go back and watch that one. It looks like he ended Macho Man's happiness. That fucking leg drop is so sick
that's
looking.
That's also a lot of skill on Macho Man's parts.
Like, does it sound?
Oh, brother. Yeah. You got me good with that leg. There you go. Number six, Drew.
Darkseid from DC Universe.
Yes.
The ruler of Apocalypse. Yeah. One of Superman's greatest foes. His entire plan is universal domination and the enslavement of every living being.
I'm intrigued that you picked him over, say, like Lex Luthor or Doomsday.
Lex Luthor is so single-minded. On Earth and Superman. Doomsday is nothing but a tool to be used by people like Darkseid.
He's just a monster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Darkseid is evil on a universal scale here.
He's
already conquered one planet, and he's looking at every other one.
He's on like the level of a god, like a titan.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
space titan. He's honestly one of these villains that I love so much that I dread seeing in a movie because I know they're gonna fuck it up.
In American movie, yes, because I dread seeing them even in the comic book too, because for the most part, like, this guy should win.
Yeah,
like,
yep.
he should go up against Superman. Superman should lose, and Darkseid should destroy the Earth, and that's the end.
It should be a challenge to write stories in which he loses.
Yeah,
it should be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is. It took this much to write.
Yeah. Exactly. So you know, I mean, with that sort of almost omnipotence and just. Man, pure psychopathy. I mean, how can you not be on anybody's top 10 list?
All right, there you go. Dark Side. Thank you, Drew. Simon.
No, I actually just made a last-minute switch.
Nice.
My original number 6 was the Sanderson sisters from Hocus Pocus, because I fucking, you know.
You love that
movie
so much. Yeah, I'm a Hocus Pocus nerd over here.
But I'm going to switch them out, and I'm going to put Mr. McMahon. The Mr. McMahon character, because Hollywood Hulk Hogan such a fucking cool concept. Mr. McMahon screwing Brett and then emerging as the heel owner of the WWF and his foil was Steve Austin.
That was a huge, huge for you.
April 13th, 1998, they finally beat WCW in the ratings, and it was only because they teased Austin versus McMahon on that episode on Raw.
Wow.
It ended up being just to get Mankind or Mick Foley as Dude Love out there to challenge Stone Cold, but the prospect of McMahon versus Austin... Yeah. Save the WWF, man.
That's wild. Yeah,
let's bring class warfare to wrestling.
And it's been... exactly. And then it's been the McMahons have been doing that since then.
Yeah. McMahon, he was the first heel authority figure, which became a thing in wrestling, man.
ECW, that's when you knew ECW was on the ropes, when instead of everyone stealing and copying from ECW, which was happening... They then tried to copy WWF, and they're like, management, the network. That's when they went to the TNN.
And Cyrus the Virus, the whole... I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and they're like, the network is trying to be the bad guy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, this isn't you, guys. Get violent. Bring out the barbed wire. Here we go. Where's the fiery tables?
I'm so fucking pleasantly tickled when I really get to see just how much you know about wrestling.
Oh, that was a specific time
period. I forget sometimes that you fucking know your shit, man.
For like he said, for a specific time period.
The good chunk of years there,
the good stuff.
I know too much. It is the good stuff.
The stuff that matters.
It's the McKellen 20-year reserve of wrestling.
Yeah.
My number 6 is HAL 9000.
Yeah, good one.
From 2001, A Space Odyssey. That robot, it just wanted to complete the mission. And people became a liability.
I wanted that for you to tell me more, because I talked to Jen about it. I've never seen it, but I know of HAL.
No.
You know, if there's a movie I haven't seen that I've read the plot to. So, well, fucking, what is HAL's deal?
It's just exactly, like... It's exactly what Chris said.
Yeah, so HAL 9000 controls the ship. The mission is they're going to Jupiter. And it's like it's a man journey to Jupiter, and they have a couple people in stasis. And so there's a HAL 9000 on the ship, and then there's a twin HAL back home on Earth. So the HAL 9000 says, oh, there's a fault. The satellite's about to go bad. We need to fix it. The possibility of fault is 99%. So they're like, all right, let's go fix it. They go fix it. But then they're like, oh, listen, the HAL 9000 on Earth says the fault, it wouldn't have faulted. It would have been fine. Your HAL 9000 made a mistake. We may have to abort the mission if your HAL 9000 is faulty. HAL is like, oh, shit. They may want to shut me down and abort the mission. I can't let that happen. So he sabotages the two living people.
I don't want to die.
I don't want to die. So then
so it's like sentient? Like an AI goes into business for itself?
It's an AI that becomes sentient. And it falsifies another faulty thing. It's like, listen, you got to go do a spacewalk to go fix this thing that's outside. Ashon's like, okay, HAL, you know what's going on. So it goes outside, and HAL uses one of his like robot arms, and he pops him to knock him into outer space. And then the other dude sees him, like, oh, no, and he gets in the ship, and he goes out, and he catches him, but the dude's dead by the time he gets him.
Oh, my fuck.
And then he tries to get back onto the ship, and he's like, HAL, open the pod bay doors, HAL.
Open the pod bay door. Everybody
that's when
knows
HAL
that.
Says the line where he says, I can't do that, Dave. He won't let him back on the ship.
So what happened?
Oh, you want to know
spoiler? I want to know.
Six-year-old spoiler alert.
You just fucking hook, line, and sinker me, dude.
And I'm summing up like 2 hours of movie, too, in about 2 minutes, which is really funny because it's a long, slow
movie. Jen told me it doesn't hold up. Like,
it's parts of it do, but it's long and slow.
Yeah.
He has to spacewalk out of his little pod, like to an emergency hatch, and pop it open with no helmet on. He's holding his breath, and then he gets sucked into the airlock, and then he closes it with him inside.
And it's a slowly disconnect HAL.
Yeah, and then he goes. Then he goes into the computer brain, which is like he's physically in it, and then he starts pulling out chips. And HAL's like, I can feel it. I'm dying, Dave. And he's like trying to appeal to him. He's like, you're destroying me, Dave. And then he goes on to complete the mission.
That's fucking heavy, though, dude. Holy shit.
And that's just like the middle section of the movie. It's a 3-hour movie. That's like the middle, like 45 minutes. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's wild.
A lot of other stuff happens.
So why did you put him so?
Because he's so he just wants to do, like Drew says, he believes in his mission. He just wants to complete the mission. And he's like, oh, the humans are a problem.
Computer.
He's just a computer.
Yeah. Computer was designed get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Computer's mission was get A to B.
Let's go. Oh wait, guys, you're fucking up. Guys, you're fucking up.
I got
all right, you know what? I'm going. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. I'm going to Jupiter. And it takes out one guy and goes, sends him out. So HAL 9000. There you go. That's my number six. All right, here we go. Top five. Sort of. Arbitrary. Number five, Drew.
Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
No!
Christopher Lloyd.
That voice, man.
That voice. Like every the whole turn from human to
his cartoon villain.
The whole thing is just insane.
Absolutely,
and crazy.
Yeah.
And it's one of those villains that stuck with me since childhood.
And the second one you bust out on this list that I'm like, fucking wow, man.
that's a great pick. That's a fantastic pick. Did not have that anywhere on my list. Judge Doom is fantastic. The eyes, dagger all eyes, of it.
The whole thing.
That laugh. The laugh is what's
good. Christopher Lloyd was so good.
What is it? The weasel gang that he employed?
The weasel gang. But he makes them laugh. The hyenas. Because they laugh themselves to death. Are they weasels or
no? No, they're weasels.
They are weasels.
Yeah. When he dips that fucking cartoon into the dip.
The shoe. That poor shoe.
Yeah. Damn.
All right. Excellent pick, Judge Doom. All right, number five.
My number five is one of my favorite things in the whole wide world, The Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, there you go.
Tragic.
The original Universal movie monster.
Yeah, but just this whole backstory, loving Christine, and she's just an ungrateful bitch.
He's just an ugly dude in love.
Yeah.
That's all.
Ugly guys need love, too, but they gotta pay.
So identifiable. Yeah, but he can sing, though. Hey. I can sing the Phantom of the Opera. I saw the play on Broadway, Family Friend.
It's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. The whole chandelier thing in the theater is wild.
I teared up.
Especially because it's a small theater that they do it in Broadway. It's like, whoa, and there's a big-ass chandelier, and it's like swinging right over the crowd.
I teared up, man.
I was expecting it.
Yeah, I loved it.
That's good stuff. I'm not a big musical fan, but that's good stuff. Phantom of the Opera.
So Phantom.
Excellent. My number five, you already said it, Magneto.
Magneto was right.
Magneto was right.
Magneto was right. Drew, what's your number four?
Thanos.
Ooh.
I mean, same thing about Darkseid. You know, he's basically the Darkseid of the Marvel Universe without a Superman.
When you mentioned Darkseid, I didn't want to say Thanos just in case.
Yeah.
An honorable mention for me, because maybe just mostly because, unless you're a comic book fan. Thanos only got into the cultural lexicon very recently.
Yes,
but boy, did he make an impression.
Yeah, well, he kicked the door in, man.
Yeah, he did. He's like, hello, I'm Thanos.
Yeah, there it was.
I'm a comic book dork, so I've been.
But you've been.
Yeah.
Since we've been doing the show in 2013, you've been talking about, hey, Thanos is coming.
I know. Dude, the second they announced Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, I know what we're doing here, guys.
There's only one reason to introduce this sector of the Marvel Universe, so we can get cosmic with this shit.
That's right, man. This ring has become one of my new most prized possessions, man.
Infinity Gauntlet.
You get the gemstones? I think I've seen this.
Yeah, he's got the gemstones. He's got all the stones in there.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. But Thanos, man, everything, his voice... His mission is...
Josh Brolin's great. He's a great portrayal in the movie, and the comic book iteration's even weirder, how he wants to, like...
So wacky. Because he's literally courting death.
Death.
Very cool. He's in love with death.
Josh Brolin is raking in the Marvel Bucks, man.
Yeah, he is.
Good
for him. Good for him. So that's your number four.
Yes.
My number four is based solely on his appearance, and it's Captain Hook.
Okay.
Any incarnation. Fun. Jason Isaacs in the 2004 movie. Of course, the original Disney character.
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman in Spielberg.
And Hook. Fucking love that movie.
My favorite part
about Rufio.
Rufio sucks. My favorite part of Hook is Bob Hoskins said,
him
confirmed.
Him and Smee were gay lovers.
They played Hook and Smee as if they were
an old married couple.
Yeah. My favorite part in that whole movie is when they're doing the classroom scene where he's teaching the kids why their parents hate them, and a fucking line where he's like, your parents read to you so they can knock you out and spend 5 minutes without you and your mindless, inexhaustible, repetitive, and nagging demands. He took my toy. She hit my bear. I want to potty. I want a cookie. I want to stay up. And that whole line is just amazing, man.
It's a very outlandish performance from Mr. Hoffman.
Captain Hook.
Yeah.
I love Captain Hook.
That covers movies and books, and it's a very iconic character.
Have you seen the Jason Isaacs one, though? 2004. He plays a really grisly, like...
I don't think so.
Kills a bunch of his own men.
I think I did. No. And yeah. then they rebring the character back for Pan, that movie a couple years ago.
Oh God,
I didn't see Pan with that Hugh Jackman.
But yeah. he wasn't Hook though. He was another pirate.
No, I thought he was a young Hook, Christopher Walken was Hook. Something they did, and then Blackbeard is in. It's fucking a mess.
My number four has already been said. You got specific with it. I'm going just in general.
Joker?
The Joker.
Very nice. Very nice.
Something about that character. Batman mm-hmm. has some of the best villains in all comic books.
They do.
And there's something about the Joker that stands heads above the rest of them, where he is really just like, he speaks to society in a way that's scary.
Yeah, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, all of them. It's like, take the nicest thing you can think of and twist it on its head and make it the most evil thing in the fucking world.
I guess it's the same thing where, I contemplated putting the comedian on my list. From Watchmen.
But
he's not a bad guy. He's just a jaded hero.
He's on the edge.
But for the same reason that Joker's a bad guy, where he's in on the joke.
Yeah.
But he does it in the name of being a hero. Yeah. Whereas Joker does it, he's in on the joke, so he does it in the name of being a villain.
Yes.
But then I also thought the real villain of Watchmen is Ozymandias anyway.
Mm-hmm. Or is he the real hero?
But then again, is he the real
hero? It's a Negan thing, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Watchmen rides that line harder than anything else.
Who is your favorite incarnation of the Joker? Not the best, because they all play different ones, everybody.
Sure.
Is it Mark Hamill?
I should just say Cesar Romero and call it a day. They painted over his mustache. He was like, I am not shaving this thing. Like, we'll just paint over it. He's like, that is fine.
It's so distracting.
Even the action
figures have it, dude.
You have to acknowledge the painted. It's such a weird detail.
True.
He's fine. Yeah.
If you say Jared Leto, I don't know what we can...
No. I mean, it's for me, it's a hard tie between Mark Hamill and what's his face? Why can't I think of his name? Heath Ledger.
Hamill's fantastic.
Heath Ledger, just because he so visceral. It was like the most base boiled down Joker.
Yeah,
it's like
dude.
Just the essence of, like you said, the Agent of Chaos.
Down to the grease paints and the bad hair dye.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, Batman the Animated Series Joker, which is almost like, almost comical.
It's most like the comic book.
In his psychopathy. Yeah. You know, like, he is definitely, like, trying to kill Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, Batman just won't kill him back.
Yeah.
And that makes him so angry.
Because that just makes him the Joker.
The fact that he wants Batman to kill him is the craziest. It's a fucking death wish.
He literally has a death wish.
Because then he would win. Because then he knows he would win.
Yeah, dude.
And that's the biggest joke of all. That's the biggest joke.
It is.
Man, he's good. I love the Joker. I know. Fantastic. Yeah. That's why we're getting two Joker movies. Not just one. We're getting two.
Oh, boy.
One of them's going to be good. And one of them's being produced by Jared Leto. That Joaquin Phoenix one's being produced by Martin Scorsese. Robert De Niro may be in it, so I mean,
it could be crazy.
His movies post 9/11 aren't that great, but still, anyway. Number three, Drew.
Hella, the Goddess of Death.
Yeah, one of my honorable mentions.
I mean,
she takes his eye as a souvenir.
She takes his eye as a souvenir.
I love her so much.
Super hot, and
a legit gripe.
Yeah. Exactly, a legit gripe.
Her and her dad were conquering worlds. They built a huge kingdom.
And he pushed out.
And then he's like, I can't do this anymore. Uh-huh. And then locked her up?
Yeah.
Lock her up. What a dude thing to do.
Exactly.
And she busted out and shoved it up his ass. Yeah.
And then I love how she's like, where do you think we got all this gold from?
Come on, guys. You think we had mountains of gold here?
Laying around. Like, we
fucking grows on trees.
Yes, exactly.
But she was a badass.
She was a badass. And she's like, I'm going to continue doing this. And the only way they could defeat her was...
By destroying the entire planet.
That was one of the few times where I was able to suspend my disbelief and actually think, how the fuck are they going to beat this chick?
Yeah,
there's no way.
Yeah, she's that scene where she defeats the Valkyrie.
Uh-huh.
Oh man.
It's like one of the best minutes in my
life. So beautiful.
I want that as like an animated poster on my wall for all time.
on a loop of just that. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Awesome.
The light rig they invented for it, that thing is wild.
Yeah, dude.
So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Great pick. Great pick, Hella. Honorable mention. Number
mine is my favorite animated Disney villain, which is Jafar
Yes.
His voice there you go, Jafar. And the story and just everything about him, man. I love Jonathan Freeman's performance.
Great, great movie, great and bad guy, just, Jafar.
You know, he's one of those, you see a panther. I think on the Mount Rushmore of Disney villains, you would have to put Jafar up there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Jafar, Scar.
I would say
like, the hunter that shot Bambi. Like, just as good.
Man.
Yeah, just man in general for
Dumbo. You know,
Dumbo.
There's a lot of good ones.
Just people.
I almost put Oogie Boogie up there.
Which one's Oogie Boogie?
From Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah, yeah.
No, Jafar,
yeah, Jafar
is...
More. Jafar, yeah. For sure. My number three, I knew this would come up, and I'm glad you already brought up. I'm gonna take the opposite defense on this. Darth Vader is not Anakin Skywalker. Anakin Skywalker is Anakin Skywalker. Darth Vader is Darth Vader.
It's a complete different entity for you, okay.
If you don't watch the prequels, you don't even know about Anakin Skywalker. You correct. Just get Darth Vader.
No.
Darth Vader is one of the greatest characters of all time, let alone villains. It's like Darth Vader, Homer Simpson, Jesus Christ. Three greatest fictional characters of all time. Anakin Skywalker sucks. I hate Anakin.
Yeah.
There's nothing good about Anakin. Yeah. Obi-Wan, I'm a weird white man who speaks with this. He's terrible. I do not like Anakin. I'm not going to argue that hard if you're saying that it ruins Darth Vader for you. I'm sorry that it does. It's a bummer that it does. But man, Darth Vader is like the fucking is a man to the point where okay, the prequels that Anakin shit sucks. But then look at Darth Vader in Rogue One. Mm. That scene where he destroys that room full of
guards. Bro,
what? You're like, oh yeah, that's right, Darth Vader.
my nerd boner grew three sizes that day, dude.
He's like, oh yeah, that's right.
But I talked about the whole thing. People don't understand bad guys for bad guys' sake.
Right.
I hate that they fucking humanize them so much in the beginning.
Yeah, you don't have to. Every bad guy doesn't have to be humanized.
Just let him be bad.
Give us our Adolf Hitlers. We need monsters.
Exactly. Yeah. And Darth
People
Vader
are monsters.
Darth Vader, like if you looked up like evil in the dictionary,
yeah,
I would appropriate that fucking Darth Vader's picture would go out there. He's a representation like of bad,
of oppressive, of what you don't want to turn into. I'm your father. They're like, no, I can't turn into this guy. Yeah.
And despite the fact that they've tried their hardest to fucking kill him for us with number one.
No!
Scene in number two, Rogue One. The only thing about that movie that killed it was his pun. Be sure never choke on your aspirations.
That was very, very cheesy. poor Ben Mendelsohn. His only scene with Darth Vader is like, we're going to end it with a pun. He's like, God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
But there you go. Darth Vader's my number three. Drew, what's your number two?
Number two.
Arbitrary number two?
A recent addition. The Shadow King, Ahmaad Farouk.
Hey.
From Legion.
From Legion season two.
He's the most impeccably dressed.
His fashion sense is
fun. Bad guy.
Incredible.
I mean, he did.
He's the Paul F. Tompkins of bad guys.
Yeah, he does some really awful things, and at the end, super classy. Hmm. And at this point in time, I'm not even sure if he's the bad guy anymore.
Yeah, now, spoiler alert for the end of season two, he may not be the bad guy.
So
it's confusing.
It's, you know, for the first two seasons, he was.
The Shadow King is a monster.
He's a fucking monster.
Yeah, dude.
Evil monster bat. I mean, the worst of the worst. A fucking parasite.
Yeah, a parasite who enjoys death and destruction.
Yeah, and now it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, now it's a lot. Farouk is great. Excellent choice, Drew. Simon, number two.
Number two is actually the character that most of my trivia fans and wrestling followers think is my favorite fictional character of all time. But there's one that precedes him.
Okay.
Tops him. The Riddler is number two.
Wearing the Riddler hat. Yes,
the Riddler.
Edward Nygma.
Love him.
You do the green and stuff all the time.
My wrestling gear is patterned after him.
Yep.
I love the aspect that has been added in some incarnations that is he can't help himself but to give clues.
Yeah.
You know, and there's
a reason for a character like him to even exist. Why would you want to give clues to the people coming after you? Yeah.
There's one.
Make it part of a disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's one comic book arc that I have that the final panel is Batman asking him, why did you tip me off? You got captured by your own hand. And the last square is the Riddler's face with a tear in his eye. And it says, maybe I am insane. And I was like, oh, man, what?
Oh, Ed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or Edward E. Nygma.
But I just want to say,
that's a great name.
I prayed so hard for a Chris Nolan Riddler.
That could have been fun.
You would have done justice for that. I would have enjoyed a the Tim Burton Robin Williams Riddler.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were kind of aiming for back when they were talking to Tim Burton about doing a Batman 3.
Eddie Murphy was talked about too, which is crazy.
What, that is some out-of-the-box casting, which would have been a lot of fun. I mean, especially skinny 90s Eddie Murphy. Yeah,
I think David Hyde Pierce would be a good Riddler.
Sure.
The only foray I've ever taken into screenplay writing was I had this idea for the third installment of Christopher Nolan film, and if it sucks, tell me it sucks, because I respect your opinions more than fucking anybody else.
Yeah.
But I thought it'd be so cool coming off the second movie if the gimmick was the Riddler shows up and he posts an ultimatum to Batman: either reveal yourself or I know the secret about Harvey Dent and I'll tell the world. And the whole movie was a struggle of, holy fuck, how am I going to get this guy from not telling everybody what Harvey did and still keep my secret identity? And then it ends with Batman finally, light bulb comes on and goes, okay, I'm going to tell everybody my secret identity, but then that means this privileged information that you have, everyone will have.
It's worthless, yeah.
So the movie, it would be based on the fact that the Riddler knows that Batman is Bruce Wayne.
Right.
So at the end of the movie, Batman's like, okay, I'm going to tell everybody, but now you're not going to be special because everyone's going to know the secret, and that would be the premise of the story. I'm like, that would have been cool, man.
But picking up right where they left off,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what they actually did, was putting them like 8 years later.
Yeah,
it was weird. It was one's hiding. This is strange.
It's so weird. Like the whole hermit thing. Like, why?
Strange choice. All right, the Riddler, you're number two. Okay, my number two, we already brought it up. This is more in a general sense, not just in movies. But life in general, the devil.
Whoa!
No.
Because the devil is such a good villain
that
people blame their real life problems on him every day.
Correct.
People are like, the devil did this. I'm like, no, you're a dumbass. The devil did this. No, no. It's just luck. It's just coincidence.
Oh, my car accident was the devil. No, you were texting. No.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Were you texting the devil? Because no, that was you.
The devil / Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, whatever you want to call
Satanas.
It's yes. Yeah. Excellent villain.
Good call, man.
I mean, and one of the originals too. He's an OG.
OG. OG villain. Yeah, going all the way back to Saturnalia. So there you go. That's my number two. What's your number one?
Arbitrary number one. It's already.
Don't argue with us about this.
It's already been said by you and by you. It's the Joker.
Whoa! Very nice.
Yes, an excellent choice.
One of my favorite comic book villains of all time.
It's a Joker.
He's the devil of comic book fame.
Pure manic psychopathy.
Yeah,
I mean, he's bad. He is just off the chain bonkers. You never know what he's gonna do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's straight up killed and almost killed people in the comic books.
Yes.
Yeah. Like straight up.
He's a murderer.
He paralyzed Barbara Gordon.
And that was for fun.
He shoots people.
And then put her down on a roller coaster ride with naked pictures of her crippled body, dude.
I know. I have the comic.
Heavy.
Very misogynistic. He does not treat women well.
He's a sick, twisted fuck.
He has a bad mom in his life. He's got mother issues.
Yeah, he wasn't hugged enough.
And probably father issues. Father and sister issues.
Everything issues.
Babysitter issues.
He's just had issues, period.
Man, the Joker.
But it's a lot of fun. He's always got a smile on his face, so he's having a good time.
He's enjoying life. As long as he's... If Joker's happy, then everyone's happy.
Exactly.
So there you go. Joker, what's your number one?
My number one is, and I can't explain why, I love his look. I love his backstory. I'm sure there are villains. I'm positive.
I think you're explaining why right now.
I'm positive. Oh, I'm saying people, Simon has, to me, everyone I've talked to has disagreed.
What's your number
and there's
one?
There's people on my list that that would probably trump it, but Otto Octavius. Dr. Octopus is my favorite fictional character of anything.
Nice.
Villain,
wow.
Hero, comic books, cartoons.
I think he's a fun character.
Doc Ock is my shit, dude.
He's a fun design.
To have those arms in real life would be so badass.
It's such a unique design that no one else has tried ripping it off.
Yeah,
because it'd be anyone tried doing, oh, look, here's my character, multiple robot arms. Like, why are you ripping off Doc Ock?
Yeah. I hate what they did with Superior Spider-Man. The story leading up to it was called Ends of the Earth. Basically, the story was it starts with Doc Ock in a hospital room, and the doctor's like, so wait, you don't have any actual superpowers? And Doc Ock's like, no, but you're fighting metahumans that do. And Doc Ock's like, yeah. And the doctor's like, but they punch you in the head. You've had like multiple concussions. He's like, yeah. Okay, well, here it is. Your brain's dying. Your body's finally given up.
Wow.
The only power you have is these arms. So basically, his body starts becoming this like deteriorating shell.
Yeah.
He builds this big metallic cocoon. And right before he dies, he manages to switch consciousness with Peter Parker. So Peter Parker dies in Otto Octavius' body.
What?
Doc Ock is in Peter Parker's body and becomes Superior Spider-Man.
What?
And... Not a fan.
Okay.
Interesting.
That sounds intense.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
It sounds intense.
It's crazy.
All right, Doc Ock.
Doc Ock is my shit. My number one is because it's one of my favorite movies of all time for like the last 25 years. And Drew mentioned very briefly all the way at the beginning of the show, Hans Gruber.
Okay.
From Die Hard. Everyone thinks he's a terrorist until the end when he finds out he's just a thief. But he's like, I am just a thief. And he's all over your face. He's smooth. He's well-dressed. He reads.
It's not officially Christmas until Hans Gruber falls from the
from Nakatomi Plaza. I love Hans Gruber. I love Die Hard. I love Alan Rickman. Mm-hmm. Snape.
So, have to watch it.
So that's my number one.
Yeah, I think so. You should. Yeah, good. It's probably so, yeah.
Then his brother comes into the other ones.
Good. In the third one, played by Jeremy Irons. Yes, good old Jeremy Irons.
Snape and Scar. Yeah, yeah. Snape and Scar. What a duo.
Honorable mentions. You want to throw yours out there?
I'm just going to laundry list through them.
Yeah, go ahead.
So starting from the bottom, I put the Sanderson sisters in there.
Sanderson sisters, yeah.
Judge Frollo from Hunchback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Side show, Bob.
Okay.
Pennywise.
Yes.
Director Krennic from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Krennic, yeah.
Cersei Lannister, because she is a huge See You Next Tuesday.
Wow. She is a See You Next Tuesday, but I think I'm on her side.
What?
After like the last season or two. I think I am.
After the Shame Walk, you felt bad for her.
I think it started before the Shame Walk. I think it started when the religious zealots started going after her. But then I was like on her side with that. That still predates the actual Shame Walk. Shame Walk is exclamation point and all that. And then she's got the Franken Mountain on her side,
which is awesome, which is so badass.
I love Franken Mountain.
He's my favorite character.
So yeah, I know you're supposed to hate her.
There's times I wanted to break something.
I think I like her.
And the final four are Michael Myers.
She wins.
Michael Myers.
Okay, yes, Michael Myers. I got Michael Myers on my list.
The T-1000.
T-1000. Yeah. We even mentioned the Terminator or T-1000. Both great villains.
John Lithgow as Arthur Mitchell in season 4 of Dexter.
The Trinity Killer.
Yes.
John Lithgow, also a great bad guy in the movie.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, yes. Yeah. He's just a great bad guy. He's great in that, and he's also great in the John Travolta movie Blowout.
And Footloose.
Yes.
The anti-dancing preacher.
He's a different bad guy in that one. Yeah.
My number one in honorable mentions is Daniel Day-Lewis as Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York.
Great choice. Bill the Butcher is a great choice. Do you have honorable mentions you want to throw out there, Drew? You know?
Yeah.
Like you said, Sideshow Bob. Mine from The Simpsons is Monty Burns.
Mr. Burns!
See Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah, see you next Tuesday, Monty Burns. He Who Shall Not Be Named.
Voldemort.
Ooh,
how did I not fucking put that on my list?
Put it on your list, which is shocking.
Why? Because I mean,
he loves the Harry Potter. I'm not a Harry Potter fan. He's a great villain.
I'm not a big fan of the Harry Potter stuff. But in the movies, everyone's like, you know, his name shouldn't be said. This, that, the other.
They say his name all the time.
How badass do you have to be though to
get? But here's the thing: you never see how badass he is. You're only told how badass he was.
Okay, fair.
That's
enough.
It.
Fair.
And I'll tell you what.
That's why it's an honorable mention.
That's an interesting.
And I'll tell you what. That battle at the end didn't prove fucking anything to me.
Yeah, apparently it was a very.
Harry Potter totally slammed his dick in the cardboard. It was
so.
Good call, Drewster.
I was trying to decide between these two who I would have chosen. I almost threw him in my top 10. Clubber Lang
and Drago.
And Ivan Drago. The thing is, Ivan Drago kills Apollo Creed, like whoa.
But
Clubber Lang actually beats Rocky,
and he shouts Mickey to death,
and then he shouts him shut up foo, and Mickey's like shut up heart, and his heart attack, and he dies.
Shut up old man.
So Clubber Lang gets that one.
Fuck.
Stuntman Mike. Kurt Russell from Death Proof.
Okay.
He's a gross, disgusting dude, and the way he kills girls is
this. Wait, really he's the bad guy? Stuff.
He's the bad guy. Yeah. Stuntman Mike. Yeah, yeah. He kills girls in his cars. Yes.
Fucking,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He makes girls get on the hood to. Wait.
No. He found them playing the game, playing Masthead, and then he fucked with them, and then they fucked with him back.
Yes. You're right.
It's a fun movie.
His thing is he crashes his car, and you die. But
and then you die. Yeah. He'll get you in the car, and then he crashes on purpose because he knows he can survive, and you can't because it's.
Is he like immortal or something? Or?
No. He's just like watching other people die.
He's just a stuntman. He's a stuntman driver, so he has a stunt car.
He knows how to take the bump. Okay.
So he can take the bump, exactly.
Holy shit.
Leatherface.
Oh, nice.
I mean, chainsaws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chainsaws.
What is his name? Bubba Sawyer?
I don't know. Sawyer. But Tommy. Jason Voorhees.
Good call. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, iconic.
But then again, the reason why, and then you mentioned Michael Myers, but then I went with Freddy Krueger because he's all these characters, but with a personality.
Yes. Very nice.
Again, referencing Kurt Russell, Escape from New York, played by Isaac Hayes, Duke of New York, A-1.
Ah,
yes. You gotta be a badass to rule that fucking hellhole of a prison island. And everyone respected the Duke.
Holy cow.
He was a badass. So, Duke of New York, A-1.
I almost put Wesley Snipes from Demolition Man.
Yes, another great choice. Simon Phoenix. Yeah. That's a great villain.
Know his name, man.
I love that movie, man. So good. You already mentioned Hela, Goddess of Death, was on my list. And then sticking with Marvel villains, Eric Killmonger from Black Panther.
Another good one.
And the bad guy from the dragon, Bruce Leroy.
Oh, Show Enough. Yeah, yeah. Okay, for sure, Show Enough. And from Jessica Jones season 1, Kilgrave
was in my top, and then I bumped him for Michael Myers.
Kilgrave is pretty fantastic. The whole just the mind control thing, and how do we beat this guy? I was like, the whole season, it's like, how do you beat this guy?
I had Kingpin on mine too.
Kingpin, Wilson Fisk. Kingpin's also the Vincent D'Onofrio portrayal of him really bumps that up a lot there.
I'm so glad you put in Kilgrave, because I completely forgot that I had him on there, and I bumped him off my list.
He's a great villain. All right, so there we go. Those are our favorite villains, overall villains. Good stuff.
What a healthy list, man. We barely overlapped.
No. We did barely overlap, and I still also feel like we barely kind of scratched the surface.
Yeah.
Still tons of great villains out there. The Bear and the Revenant.
Long John Silver.
I mean, the Shark and Jaws.
The Shark and Jaws. The Gremlins.
Jaws itself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Gremlins.
Or Stripe from Gremlins.
Stripe is the ultimate of all those little bastards. I mean, used to just movie monsters.
The Monkey and Outbreak.
Their own villains. Yes, exactly.
Mothra. There's a lot, man.
Man, you see that Godzilla King of Monsters trailer? That's another episode. We'll talk about that later.
What in the fuck?
We'll talk about all that later. Guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening. Drew, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Simon, thank you,
thank
sir.
You, buddy.
That was a lot of fun. This was all your idea, and I'm glad you brought it up to me.
Skull-headed aliens from Mars Attacks?
Yeah. there's so many aliens in, like the Xenomorphs.
Yeah.
Just we could just do like alien villains.
Yes.
Yeah, the Predators,
the Cenobites from Hellraiser. God, so okay, a lot.
Those Cenobites are bad news. Let us know what's your number one villain. I just want to know, what is your favorite villain? Hit us up on Twitter at CrespoDiso, or put it in the Facebook group favorite villains. Let us know. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
A PFT Media production.